You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and we've got a really special episode today because my co-host is someone that we are excited to have on the show. Her name is Shannon Schuyler. She's the Chief Purpose Officer for PwC.
Hello.
How are you, Shannon?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. Well, really looking forward to this.
Thank you for being here. And the second great part of the show is our guest. He is a member of the National Retail Federation Board of Directors. But more importantly, he is the CEO of Ashley Stewart. His name, James Rhee. Hello, James.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. Hi,
Welcome
Shannon.
To Retail Gets
Hi,
Real.
How are you doing, James?
Pretty good.
So, James, quickly, tell us your story. How did you get to Ashley Stewart and to retail?
In a very odd way.
That's what most people say.
Yeah, and late in career. I have spent most of my life, most people know me as a private equity person, investing in companies, both high growth and distressed. And I got involved with Ashley Stewart because it was an investment that in one of our portfolios, and it really sang to me at the right time in my life. It was a business that was having difficulty, and there was a good chance it was going to go away. And we'll talk about it more, but it's a very meaningful brand and company, particularly in the African American community. It's growing in influence now beyond that community as well. But we are one of the largest percentage employers of African American women in the country as well. And about 4.5 years ago, I took the plunge and kind of shut down my life in Boston and became the CEO, arguably the least qualified CEO to try to save and transform this company.
You know, one of the things that people, we talk to a lot of folks, all different levels in retail, and the one thing they always talk about is passion. Yeah. You have to have a passion for this industry. You have to have a passion about your people. You have to have a passion about your customer. Do you see that in Ashley Stewart?
I see the passion, forget me. I see the passion every day for 20 plus years, what these women sustained in these stores. I mean, that's what made me passionate, because I asked myself, how could a business with no computers in the stores, they couldn't send more than a 1 meg email as of 4 years ago. There was no Wi-Fi in the stores. The business arguably never made money ever for 20 years.
That's not a good model.
Right? Yeah. Really didn't pay its bills, was bankrupt twice. But how was it then that this brand and these stores sustained for over 2 decades? And that's the question I kept asking myself. Like, everyone's trying to destroy the company, right? Well, they're not trying, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But there was a force making it live, and that was passion, that was friendship, and those are the things that really spoke to me as a human being more than as a investor, and certainly not as a CEO, because I'd never been a CEO before.
Well, it's wonderful, because I was so honored to get to sit here with you, because I've heard so much about your stores from my family members who've gone, and they say it has a soul. Mm-hmm. It has a humanity to it. So as they're shopping, it's made for them. And the experience is more than going in and purchasing something, but it's being with family, being comfortable, being respected in a way that when I think of going shopping, I don't think I've had that experience at a different retailer. How did that continue to be able to even emerge more when you were able to really give more control and more success to the company?
You know, sometimes when you're a little kid or a student, or even now you have a life mentor, and they just simplify things. Like, then they make you see things clearer or about yourself, and you say, oh, you know, you're right. When I look at this brand, and when she does too, and the only thing I'm really doing well is shining a light on something that she knew but forgot, maybe. We all know that the main thing that we are, quote, selling, it's not clothes. Everything it stands for, truly the core asset that's being transacted in those stores, it's friendship and it's self-esteem, it's respect. It happens to manifest itself in clothes, and that's the way the business is not a not-for-profit business. Like, it has to sell something to, and hopefully make a profit and be for profit. But that was the real eureka, right? And it's like, for all these years, that's not what you were transacting in these stores. You were transacting emotion. And she happened to like the dress that made her remember or feel the way you made her feel. Mm-hmm. And it sounds a little bit like a fortune cookie, but
that's why it works.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Exactly. Simple, but direct. Yeah. So, James, you have to have a leadership approach. If you were to define that, what would that be?
I take being a fiduciary very seriously. I'm a father of three daughters. And I think any parent would realize I'd give my left arm for, or I'd give both arms for my children.
Sure.
Right? I've invested other people's money, mm-hmm. and they've given me money because they know that I would also, well, after I gave my two arms to my children, my leg to them, you know, but I would, losing someone else's money is more painful than losing yours.
Really?
And so from a leadership perspective, from just people, as a former high school teacher too, and I still teach a lot now, I think teaching, you're an ultimate fiduciary too. I mean, you're investing in students. And I think that's generally my style, or quote style, or it's really more of a personality thing,
right.
That I'm generally pretty consistent about that in almost every facet of my life, that I tell my daughters this, and I just made this up, so if you like it, cool. But about a couple of years ago, it dawned on me, like, I like sports, but then I'm like, you know, maybe the best sport is the decathlon, because you have to be well-rounded.
Sure.
But it's an event that you can win the gold medal in, but you actually don't ever have to win any of the 10 events.
Correct.
But you could finish second consistently,
right.
but still, quote, win the gold medal.
Right.
And I think if you think about what I'm talking about, being a fiduciary, and you don't actually have to win everything, but in the end, maybe
the payouts there.
You can win,
right.
like in a more right. holistic sense. And
right.
so,
no, I like that very much.
Do you think that that helped you? And so when you think about Ashley Stewart and the things you've done, the Miss Ashley contest and the concert series, it is more than a store, right? Mm-hmm. It's a brand, it's a culture, it's a movement.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get there? Because it just seems like most retailers are trying to get you in the door and are worried about how to set up products so you'll buy more. And yet, this has gone so far beyond just purchasing something, but really how you can have relationships with these women that are fundamentally different than any other retailer that they would go to.
Yeah, it's. I think part of it is the fiduciary sense too. Like, what's driving me personally and the company as a whole, but 4.5 years ago, jumping off the cliff and saying, you know, I'll see you in, it's now 4.5 years. I am an athlete too. I like competition, but I love it when the game is fair and the fight is fair. This company, I really didn't believe ever had a fair shot at being successful. You could make a movie out of it. You know, mistake here, calamitous thing here, mismanagement here, not really caring about and not seeing under what was happening in these communities. It was all about maybe clothes, or it wasn't. Like, there's a lot of intangible things that she's doing by providing leadership in these communities. So my mission has been, I want everyone to see it. I want to amplify it. But most importantly, we've been pretty quiet about it for the first several years of this. It's we had to get our own house in order. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like going into a house, and people like to paint the house and put trees in. That's just generally not my style of investing or approach to human beings. Like, we went into the basement and we got dirty, and we fixed the plumbing and the foundation, mm-hmm. and then now maybe we can plant a tree. But our company, we don't really care about the tree and things. It's really, we measure the house with the strength of the basement.
Right. You often say that people look at you, whether you're walking into the stores or in other facets, and they realize what you do. And here you are, Asian American man.
Yeah.
How do you relate to the community that you are serving? How do you see that? Because it seems to me to be pretty easy to connect on the level of emotions that you are, but you certainly get that.
You know, I don't know. Like, I think part of it is, I guess I am Asian American, and I'm married to a Caucasian woman, and I have friends all over the place, and I've traveled a lot, and I've consistently in my career put myself in just position, like vulnerable positions. I've changed careers. I don't even know. High school teacher, private equity, then distress, then started my own firm. I like learning a lot. And I fundamentally think that people will, they want to help you. They want to support you. And so I approach this the same way. It's they know more about their business, their community, the relationships they have. And I kind of went in and just said, look, we're in big trouble. And we're at the point, I'm here at 3 a.m. selling stuff in the warehouse to make payroll. Like, it's desperate. Just please tell me what's wrong. I just need to know. And then if you can tell me as much as you can, I know you don't know me, but I'm here. Like, I'll try to figure out how to come up with something to fix it. And it was that easy. And she knew it from the start, just looking, it was like eye to eye. And she said, this is a bit of a crazy guy. Like, he's serious. Like, mm-hmm. he's here. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm all in. It's ride or die. Let's go. And I don't think you can fake something like that. I can say ride or die, but it was really coming from my heart that it was ride or die.
Would you say that the culture that was at Ashley Stewart before you got there has sustained and sustained it, or would you say it has changed and you have been able to build on that?
The culture in the stores at its best. That's, look, not every store at every hour of the day has magic happening, right? We certainly have issues in individuals or individual interactions, but I tend to look at things at your best. And I do this with people, Bill, right? It's like, you at your best. Wow, you have the potential to be that best. And you're never going to be that all the time. So that's what I thought. I thought that, wow, I've never seen a retail company that at its best could transform women's, like, self-esteem, like, mm-hmm. it's, and do what it did. I, like you, I mean, I don't have that experience shopping, right? And I have zero fashion sense. and the listeners can't see what I'm saying, but it's true. Like, I've done the best I could today, right?
You're fine, Jay.
Yeah, but it's really at the best, and it's really taking those elements of things when they're at their best. I've tried for the whole company to aspire to be that best as often and as consistently as possible, but not putting the pressure on everyone to be perfect, right? And to have trust and to realize we're going to screw up and you'll get mad every now and then and you'll have a bad day, and but that long term, that we all have the same goal and that we're aspiring to be the best company, best people, best culture that we can be.
That's, and you believed in this from the very beginning. I know you said when you were looking to get others to help with financing and looking,
yes,
you had people say no. But you knew that, yeah, you knew that either you had to do it or you knew that it would be successful. What drove you then to look at all those folks who wouldn't invest and to say, I'm going to keep finding it until I get those funds?
I'm relentless. I mean,
I believe that.
I'm relentless.
And I believe it.
For people, and it's not for me, like, I get relentless when, like, I'm relentless for my wife or for my children, right? For me, it's different. But when I, in that fiduciary role, I won't quit. And it was really hard. So everyone said no. You know, and a lot of my friends rationally said no, because as an investor, really, like, this has never made money and you have this new business model and it's about soul and there's going to be influence-based business and it's not really retail, but it's kind of retail, and you're going to turn into a media company and then go teach things and have educational modules. And I was like, totally, that's what we're going to do.
For sure.
Why are you questioning
it? Seems so clear.
But I understand why they said no. And this was four and a half years ago. I think the world's in a very different place now. I think more people see it now, but it was a very different economic environment, societal environment. In the end of the day, the only way that we were able to get money was what I tell my students. It was based on trust. It wasn't on the fundamentals of the idea. It was, you really believe this, and are you all in? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're all in, and I'm not leaving. I'm not going to go back to my private equity life in Boston. I'm here with our employees, and we'll fight, like, to the death. And that's the only way we got a nickel. And yep, it was old friends that gave the money. And that felt nice, right? These were long relationships.
Well, they knew you, and they knew you were relentless.
Yeah.
And that if you put your mind to something like that, there was a good chance that it was going to be right. successful.
And when or if it was going to fail, which it was probably a higher likelihood of failure, that I would be honest with them.
Right.
And that I would say, I'm sorry, but I left everything I could on the field, and we lost.
Right.
And I still feel that way, right? We're not the largest company, and it's not easy, and but we're doing the best we can, right? And so one day, if it happens that Ashley Stewart is not the success that I hope it can be, that we'll have done it in a way that we're proud and enlisted as many people like you guys to help get the story out. We're obviously incredibly appreciative of this, that we're going to do the best we can, and life is not guaranteed. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So if you were to, you teach, and a student were to come to you and say, I want to start a business. I want to start a retail business. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about it. I've been researching it. I've been living it. I've worked in a store. I understand the operations. I'm scared. I don't know that I can really take this risk at this point in my life. What would you tell that?
This is a 22-year-old?
This is a 22-year-old, 23-year-old.
I would say, all of life is a risk-return calculus. I would say that I love the spirit and the fight. I would ask, I don't want to get into your personal finances, but how much risk are you willing to tolerate? Because life is real, right?
Right.
When you have dependents, mm-hmm. it gets even more real.
Right.
And I think sometimes 22, you don't really know. You don't know.
Right?
That
did.
Life is okay. I didn't.
The only
I didn't
person.
Know. But it's
I really didn't. Trust me.
I think that one of the things that the Internet Foundation, everything they're doing with that we're doing with students and scholarships and the NRF Foundation, the student weekend, mm-hmm. and the mentoring sessions.
Oh my gosh.
My advice is really find a great mentor, less a great company. Like, you're better off finding a great mentor in a company that maybe you're not that excited about, mm-hmm. but at that stage, find someone that's really excited about you.
Right.
And
that's going to help you along the
way. Yeah.
And
then they need to invest in you.
Right.
And more than just as an employee relationship. And that's something that I wish I had more of that in my professional career. There have been one or two that moments when I had that, but I know that for me, I'm trying to be available to as many of the students as possible, because a 5-minute conversation, it's meaningful.
Yeah.
And they remember.
Yeah. It could change your life.
Right.
It really can.
Yeah.
Well, we are regrettably running close on time. But we do have a section of this program that I don't know that you're aware of, James.
Am I going to fail at this section?
No, we won't let you fail. You can't. You're relentless. You'll come up with it.
It's called Rapid Response. Yeah. We're going to ask you a very simple question, mm-hmm. and you're going to come up with an answer the first thing that comes to mind.
Aye, aye, aye. Okay.
So are you ready?
No, but let's go.
But here we go.
Shannon?
Last book you read.
The Prize.
Which is about
the Newark public school system and Facebook's investment in it and everything that happened with the $100 million investment.
Wow.
Best advice you've ever received.
Best advice I've ever received. You really can't be successful if other people don't want you to be successful.
Excellent.
Childhood hero.
I was a big Steve Garvey fan. Los Angeles Dodgers,
sure.
First base.
Yeah.
I would say Steve Garvey. I wore number 6. Yeah.
Love that.
Pizza or burger?
Burger. I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh.
That's a first.
TMI, right?
I know, exactly. Yeah. We know a lot more now. Best purchase you've made under $100?
When I was 7 years old, I gave my brother, and we didn't grow up with a lot of money, so somehow I had scrounged up $8. And I bought my brother Led Zeppelin 4, the album. And it was before that the kids ever gave each other Christmas gifts. And he cried that his little brother gave him a Stairway to Heaven, saved up money all year.
That's amazing.
I still have that album.
Yeah. What's the receipt that's in your wallet?
Dude, I'm digital, man. I don't have
How about your Apple wallet? No, just kidding.
All right, what is the best app you can't live without?
Aye, aye, aye. Uber.
I know. I'd love to have a more creative one, but
and I'm not proud of that, but I do use it a lot.
No need to apologize. You're in good company. So that brings us to the end of Rapid Response. And James, you did very, very well.
Is there a double Jeopardy question? Final Jeopardy question?
You are good.
Okay.
And we really appreciate you taking the time to be on Retail Gets Real, James. Very, very insightful. What you're doing for Ashley Stewart, the energy that you have behind it, the passion that you have for it, it communicates very easily. And I know that our listeners are really grateful for the time that you've given them to tell them your story.
That's cool.
Shannon, thank you so much
for co-hosting.
You did a phenomenal job.
Wonderful. And
we'll
I just want to tell James just real quick what he's doing for communities like the South Side of Chicago and others. He is building an infrastructure there that's supporting a full community. It's not just a store, but it's a place where people can go and they can be respected and trusted and really see what success looks like for them. So thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Hey, James, if people want to know more about Ashley Stewart, where should they go?
Go to our Facebook and Instagram sites and our YouTube channel. I think that's the best place to see the flavor of what we're trying to do.
That's great. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You know, we're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.